Whether this is her first Mother's Day or her 40th, she deserves more. Shop tons of stunning on-trend jewelry for every budget at Diamonds Direct. Diamond fashion jewelry, beautiful birthstones, everyday pearls, starting at just $200. Commemorate the real loves of her life with a gorgeous pendant featuring the birthstone of the one who made her mom. This Mother's Day, Diamonds Direct is everything you need to say thank you. Diamonds Direct, your love, our passion. Online at DiamondsDirect.com.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to Season 9, Episode 1, the season premiere of Das Daily Zeitgeist for December 4th, 2017. My name is Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. Potatoes O'Brien, and I'm joined by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray.
Yes, it's experimental artist, your boy Kusama, in the building. How are you?
I'm great, Miles. Thanks for asking. And we are thrilled to be joined in our third seat by the hilarious stand-up comedian Josh Androsky.
Hello, that's me. Your words, not mine.
What's going on, Josh?
I'm good. I just got back from Seattle, and boy, is my existentialism tired.
Hey,
there he's having fun, huh? I know. I did just get back from Seattle. I went to go somewhere else that wasn't Los Angeles, where, like, I was like, so I don't drink anymore. I wanted to go somewhere with legal weed where I didn't know anybody, and it was perfect. I ended up, like, meeting this woman on Tinder who, like, worked for Sub Pop, and she gave me, like, this whole tour of Sub Pop.
Oh, wow.
And I sat next to this dude on the plane, and I could, you know, when you can just, like, vibe somebody?
Yeah, yeah.
I just vibed him, and I was like, hey, man, forgive me, but you look like a dude that knows where I could find some acid. And he was like, you sat next to the right guy.
Are you serious?
Yeah, and he ended up, like, owning this rad bar. I'm wearing the sweater of the bar, the screwdriver bar, if you're in Seattle.
Shout out to him. Probably just out of the owner.
Yeah, well,
acid,
no, I mean,
bar?
It's a rock and roll bar. Yeah. But no, they've got, you would love it, dude. They've got this amazing 45 jukebox that has, like, all these, like, old, like, garage, rock, punk, soul 45s.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I love that.
Yeah.
Wait, so when you vibed him, was it because he was just, like, wearing mad hacky sacks around his neck?
Yeah, dude. Yeah, he had...
He was hacking in the aisle. Yeah.
His eyes were as big as the sun, and he just looked at me and was like, are you my dad, and am I your dad?
Right.
And I was like, this
yes,
dude,
yes,
this
yes.
Guy knows what's up.
Let's talk when the flight lands.
Josh, what's something from your search history that's revealing about who you are?
Oh, yeah. Okay, so this... Honestly, these two, like, it's my two genders. You know what I mean? It's like the two parts of me. So, sad Billy Corrigan, which, are you familiar with the picture?
No.
Okay. Even if you're driving and you're listening to this, just like
pull over.
Don't just. There's no time. Pull out your phone while you're driving and Google sad Billy Corgan and look at that first picture that comes up of Billy Corgan on Big Thunder Mountain Railroad.
Frowning.
Frowning so hard. Billy Corgan sucks. He's a piece of shit. And he's like
weirdly, wait, why is Billy a piece of shit?
He's like weirdly alt-right now.
He is?
Yeah.
He went hard alt-right.
So he's just trying to make that bald head work for him.
Right. Exactly.
He's like, oh, well, I'm a skinhead now.
Exactly.
I'm not just a washed fucking 90s artist.
Right. Exactly, dude. Today is the greatest.
Yeah.
And it's because I saw this picture. And then the other thing that I recently looked up was I was like, oh, man, all this news reminds me of something. Oh, yeah, the failed coup against FDR.
Yeah, the business. Mm-hmm.
The business plot. Yeah. The business plot. Are you familiar with the business plot?
Tell me more.
Basically, the last time we had a president that was willing to be a class traitor was FDR.
Right.
And only for white people and only for white men. So what we need a new one for everybody.
Right.
But he this was like in the ramp up of World War II. And a bunch of business interests, including, I believe, Prescott Bush, George W.'s grandpappy, and like a bunch of other major industrialists and shit, all got together in Germany and were like, you know, this fascism thing's pretty neat.
Yeah.
And so the ambassador, I think. So we still had like an ambassador to Germany at the time when Hitler was like taking power and before we had like, you know, the war had really, really begun. And the ambassador was just writing these frantic letters to FDR and like, they're just talking about this shit in the open, dude. You got to know.
Right,
like,
right,
this
right.
is fucked.
They're coming for you.
They're coming for you. And they only got his legs.
But they tried, right? They got a former general to come on board, and they were like, all right, so here's the thing. You're going to lead us in a coup to overthrow the actual U.S. government.
Yep.
And the general was like, oh, cool. You guys know I'm like a military person. I'm not going to – like, and he just went and told FDR. And they got like fined or something.
Yeah, they got a slap on the wrist for trying to take over the entire government.
Their offspring became the actual president of the United States.
Right, well, that's the soft coup of corporatocracy.
Right. So what's something you think is overrated?
We can go like 1, 2, 3. Cops, the Philadelphia Eagles, and Tina Fey.
Okay. Tina Fey is surprising.
Okay. Here's my thoughts on Tina Fey. I think Tina Fey was really great for a moment. And then what happens to a lot of comedy people is that they get rich and become insular. And then I have a feeling that Tina Fey hasn't spoken to anybody in a meaningful way who can't afford a Park Avenue apartment in like 5 to 7 years.
Mm.
And it's so like you just see it in her work now. And the fact that we're okay with Tina Fey, America's like, just have some ice cream, blarg.
Yeah.
We're okay with her message, right. Of like, you don't have to engage.
Right.
And
yeah, that rubbed me the wrong way.
Well, so she had an appearance on Weekend Update in the SNL premiere where she was like,
just eat cake instead of
let him eat cake.
Yeah. Right. She was like, how are you dealing with the Trump presidency? I'm eating cake to make myself feel better.
Right. Because she doesn't have to engage because she's never going to be on the front lines because, you know, being rich and white supplants like any oppression that she would get.
She also came back and hosted last year, a couple years ago. And one of the sketches was like her observations about like having an assistant.
That's
your observational comedy now,
right? And but that's the thing, like you see it with like Jerry Seinfeld, you see it with like all these people who like maybe had the pulse for
a second
but then have just like insulated themselves so much. And the other thing that really really gets me about Tina Fey is that she is saying don't engage but then doing commercials for predatory credit card companies
that are
responsible for why people are in this mess.
And
I guarantee you she doesn't A, care, or B,
no.
see the connection
in those
two things. And so, I don't know. I think to be a good comedian, you need to have a modicum of self-awareness.
Right.
And I think that Tina Fey, for being somebody that talks so much about herself, and that's what made her comedy so relatable, was like, oh, yeah, these are our, like, you know, lazy urges and just, like, whiny, you know, like, anxiety and that kind of shit that we all have. I think now it's just spun off into this, like, Real Housewives zone. Yeah.
like her prose is like very funny for you know, being prose. Like she it's like a laugh every like 2-3 sentences in her book. But yeah, there's also like once she gets to the SNL part, there's just some elitism like in there. She's like, you need to have somebody who graduated from Harvard. Like that needs to be half of your staff. It's like, yo, you know they're really funny people who didn't even graduate college.
Or high school.
Who are very smart.
High school dropout here, baby. Yeah, and she's super funny. Nobody's saying she's not funny, but she's a cold, unfeeling joke machine, you know? And I think that we will look back and history will judge Parks and Rec better than 30 Rock.
Yeah.
Because it had heart and it was about characters and real people.
And don't even get me started on Jerry Seinfeld.
Oh, my God. I fucking hate
him so
much.
His latter stuff is pretty brutal, and he has weird opinions on, you know, kids these days. You know,
well, especially
just really frustrating.
Considering that he dated a kid.
Right.
Fucking dated
a 17-year-old.
Yeah. I mean, where's his fucking – he should be lynched.
Who he picked up in a park.
I forgot about that.
He met a 17-year-old at the – peak of like Seinfeld when he was in his mid to late 30s, he met a 17-year-old high school student in a park and started dating her openly around New York, took her to Knicks games. What's something you think is underrated?
Dude, I'm going to go with the song Duke of Earl.
By Cypress Hill?
Yeah, Cypress Hill. No, by Gene Chandler, the original song Duke of Earl.
Duke of Earl.
Yeah.
Right, before he gets sued. Yeah.
So
that's not a cover.
But that's why it's underrated, because everybody just remembers. I feel like there was like 1 year in the 90s when there was a Duke of Earl novelty thing. Like it was either in a commercial or a, like Babe 2, Pig in the City or something.
Right. Or like Big Mouth Billy Bass sang it or some shit.
Right. And so we all just like. All we think of is the Duke part, but the song itself is fire. The song itself
there's
is like
song,
Sam Cooke level.
There's a song beyond that?
There's a song beyond that, and it's like real good.
I only know Duke.
Right,
Duke.
Everybody does. Everybody only knows the Duke.
All right, so we got to get our minds around that.
Yeah, dude. Listen to Duke of Earl. Listen to the classics. Respect the classics.
All right. Let's get into format. We're trying to take a sample of the ideas that are out there changing the world, whether we're looking or not. We talk about politics, the president, news. We also talk about the movies and supermarket tabloids. We're going to be pretty news heavy this episode because, holy shit, what a weekend. But, yeah, we like to start out, actually, Josh, asking our guest if there's any myth that's like in the zeitgeist that they think people generally have wrong, like the shared consciousness.
This is a hot one, dude. Jocks are better than nerds. The myth is that nerds are better than jocks, and the myth is wrong. Mm-hmm. Nerds are bad. Nerd culture is destroying America, and the jocks are the only ones that can save us. And I can't believe I'm saying this as a former nerd myself, but it all tracks.
Josh is like 225, just ripped pure muscle, just like
he literally drank one of those big bottles of creatine powder, just like dumped it in his face.
Walked in a Letterman jacket and pushed miles over.
Kicked sand in his face.
Yeah.
His prom
but
date.
Describe, I mean, by nerd culture, you mean what?
So nerd culture, I mean specifically like the atomization and like festering of nostalgia that supplants the need for trying new things or exploring or creating things.
Mm-hmm.
This nostalgia obsession, you see it in everything from how every movie's a fucking reboot now to just this idea that it keeps people inside and insulated to the world. And it's part of like a greater trend of politics right now where people are just retreating inward, like Tina Fey talked about, like, I just eat cake, you know, like this idea that like you can escape how bad the world is through your fetish, like your particular like cultural fetish, and then only talk about that thing and have human relationships based on like that. I think that's fucking horseshit. And it's a cop out. And then you see on the other side, jocks who traditionally are just fucking lunkheads, like Colin Kaepernick and Malcolm Jenkins and basically every NBA player and coach, Popovich and Van Gundy. That's keeping protest and actual dissent culturally relevant. Mm. Like jocks and the protest movement, like, are intertwining in a way that like our country hasn't seen since Kareem Abdul-Jabbar and Muhammad Ali. And we are having important conversations that we're supposed to be having about police violence and racial equality because of dudes that, you know, traditionally people like me, little Jews in glasses, are like taught to be scared of.
Right.
And meanwhile, let's take a gander at what nerds are doing right now. The alt-right. Fucking Peter Thiel is a nerd, and you know, like all these like Silicon Valley tech people are exploiting the hell out of our country, and they're fucking nerds. Let me throw this one on you. You know who was a nerd? Adolf Hitler. Hitler with Nazis were was. Fucking nerds.
He
dude.
Was a culture nerd. He was like super into Disney stuff and like Coke products and yeah, he was a culture nerd.
Kim Jong-un, nerd.
Yep.
Like, and the online anonymous rage thing of nerds has just, I think, like poisoned discourse.
Totally.
It's a big reason why I quit Twitter.
That is a hot take.
Hot take.
And I am thoroughly convinced.
Yeah, that got my wheels
spun. Yes. Jocks are better than nerds. Pass it on.
Yeah. All right. Before we go to break, just want to take a sort of the temperature of the zeitgeist over the weekend. I was saying when we came in today, Miles, that I felt like the world was
finally
deflated.
Got it right. Oh,
just felt deflated after the Republicans passed the tax bill at 2 a.m. in the morning on Friday night. It just seemed like I was expecting more outrage, and it just seemed like. And also, my phone was broken this weekend, so maybe that was just me. Maybe I just didn't see the outrage as
possible.
Much. But
it's possible.
I don't know, like the whereas with healthcare and past Trump transgressions, people, it just seemed like the energy was there to combat the insanity of it all. It felt to me like the forces that are resisting sort of felt a little beaten down to me this weekend.
I mean, personally, it did feel like it kind of was one of those moments like where you just kind of realize, oh, okay, yeah, this really is. We really are there now. Like,
yeah.
We really just kicked the middle class in the dick, and we're just like, it doesn't fucking matter.
Right.
Because we need to save these billionaire people's money. That was very – yeah, like at first I was really angry. Like leading up to it, I was retweeting all kinds of shit, and I was just like, yo, come on. We got to fucking figure this out. And then by the end when you knew it happened, I was just – yeah, I was resigned to the fact that – I mean, I guess accepting the reality of where the power is now and what the agenda is.
Right.
And I think part of it, right, is like as you mentioned, the idea that like – there was so much more resistance to healthcare, you know, and other like Trump debacles. And I think that like you can use this to illuminate a lot of things about how power works and specifically how the Republicans are so good at exhausting people with technical jargon. Tax increases and decreases are very abstract. You can look at a person in a wheelchair like the ADAPT protesters who were
right. –
Like, I think so much more responsible for healthcare being saved than any Democratic congressperson, like any Democrat. It was the ADAPT protesters who were willing to put their bodies on the line and show cops dragging people out of their wheelchairs.
Right.
Like, that creates something. You can't, there's no emotional equivalent to that. And because the Democrats have just ceded the ideological battle to the right for no reason,
mm-hmm.
there's no ideology that we can fall back on that goes, no, because there's nowhere to channel that anger about class inequality because the Democrats are fucking just as bad as the Republicans at most of like structural inequality shit.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
There's no good guys. There's no good guys to root for.
There's really bad guys and then people who just kind of are like shook and are become inert, which is the problem. Yeah.
Yeah. The Flynn story broke that he is flipping, but, you know, every story that came out over the weekend seemed to be like, yeah, Trump's account tweeted out that he fired Flynn because he knew that he lied to the FBI, right?
He tweeted, I had to fire General Flynn because he lied to the vice president and the FBI. He has pled guilty to those lies. It is a shame because his actions during the transition were lawful. There was nothing to hide.
Right. So that's essentially pleading guilty to obstruction of justice. And you would think that that would be a thing where everybody would be sort of motivated by that, like, oh my God, he just admitted to it. And his response was just, my lawyer wrote that on my Twitter account for some reason. And people, I don't know, it just seems like people are like, yeah, of course, like, sure, whatever, like, fuck it, go ahead and say that. There's the outrage over the sense that something is going on and being covered up. And then there's also the sort of gnawing feeling that this is a distraction from the tax bill, which is 500 pages and nobody I know has read, but, you know, is the thing that maybe we should be paying attention to. Roy Moore is going to win. Alabama got into the playoffs over Ohio State, which we'll talk about later. But Alabama is the Republican Party of college football. It is like a behemoth that is just spending money, steamrolling the little guy.
Yeah, it's fun to look at a map of the highest paid jobs paid with taxpayer money in each state. And right. in like, I think like 30 states, it's college football.
Football coach.
Right.
Yeah,
yeah, right. Yeah. So, yeah, we're going to get into some of these stories when we get back. But, yeah, that, I don't know. That seems to me to be sort of the temperature of where we're at this week.
Yeah. The Flynn stuff, if I could, like, just say to everybody out there, like, this is a perfect example of, like, how to watch the news. If you try to watch it for any actual information, don't.
Right.
But this shit is super hilarious and really entertaining. You can't focus on it because you personally can't affect it. So as long as you look at this as like a funny thing that like kind of doesn't really affect your life, then right. it's safe. But if you really think like, oh, Mueller's going to get him now, then you're going to be miserable your entire life.
Right. All right. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan, and if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island, and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hey, here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Visible is the wireless company that makes wireless visible. No hidden fees, no really. Save on wireless with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. You don't need more than one line of wireless to save. Just switch to Visible at Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
And we're back. All right, we're just going to talk about taxes real quick. We don't have time or infinite energy to get into all the many details, the tax plan that they are passing through is probably going to repeal the individual mandate. So they're taking money that would be spent on healthcare for, you know, millions of people
that are in need, who cannot afford healthcare,
and moving it elsewhere. But there was a really revealing quote from Iowa Senator Chuck Grassley, where so one of the just most egregious parts of this, and it's not one of the details that is actually going to cost people all that much money, but they are repealing what's called the death tax, the inheritance tax, which is basically a tax on the 5,000 highest income Americans. So people who, when they die, are leaving behind over, I think, $11 million. That money is extra taxed because that's a shitload of money.
That you did nothing for.
Right, that you did nothing for. And the logic that Chuck Grassley used to explain it was pretty amazing. He said, quote, "I think not having the estate tax recognizes the people that are investing." This is in a quote to the Des Moines Register. He said, "As opposed to those that are just spending every darn penny they have, whether it's on booze or women or movies." So what he's saying there is we're giving money to people who will invest it, the these people who are inheriting millions of dollars from their parents and have never had to work for that money at all. And we're taking it away from, you know, people who, and this is how he views the rest of us, basically, the rest of the world, are people who spend their money on booze, women, or movies is such a weird throw in there.
That's the odd man.
Well, they are expensive these days.
Yeah,
that is true.
Maybe he's trying to circle back and just like take a slam. It's like, you know, oh, $20 to go to the movies.
It's a setup move. Yeah,
yeah.
Right. I remember when it used to cost a nickel.
Right.
Which is, by the way, is the only money you'll be getting. You'll be getting paid in nickels from now on, thanks to the new Republican tax plan.
So it really gets at what is wrong with a lot of the logic with this tax plan, which so people who invest their money, he's talking about, you know, stocks and, you know, the market. 51% of families in America owned stocks in 2016, which is, you know, not that bad. But when you look at how much is owned by the richest, the top 1% of households by wealth owned 38% of all stock shares.
Yeah.
1% of households own 38%. So he's saying we need to give more money to that top 1% so that they can invest it. But that only helps them and the stock market. And it's all part of this idea that by making the obscenely rich more obscenely rich, you're going to stimulate the economy somehow. But I mean, as the estate tax and their anger at the estate tax proves, they just want to keep the money for themselves and for the people in their family.
Yeah, there's nothing about upward mobility or anything in this bill. Like,
right.
When you look at like boom and bust cycles of the economy, like we're in a good time right now and unemployment's low. The stock market's doing great. Rich people are getting fucking richer.
Yeah.
A tax cut is like the absolute opposite of what is normal.
There's already insane problems with, you know, wealth distribution.
Yeah,
the top 20% of Americans own 92% of the stock. So that money is not going anywhere.
And well, we need to talk about also this. There's a guy named Matt Brunick who's a fantastic writer. You should follow him if you're still in hell on Twitter. he runs a leftist think tank called the People's Policy Project. Mm-hmm. And he talks a lot about the passivity of income, the idea that when you talk about investing, because we're not taught this in schools and the Democrats have done a really poor job of like ideologically talking about what exactly is an investment. And this idea that these people are simply creating wealth by having wealth,
right.
There's no work, there's no motivation, there's nothing that benefits society. You're not creating a product, you're not creating a service, and you're not putting this money back into the economy. What it is welfare. What it is we need to start looking at things like this the way that the Republicans have gotten white, lower class, working class, middle class people to look at welfare moms and food stamps and shit like that. That's what this is. This is just a Band-Aid to allow people who don't work to not work more. And it's way worse than welfare because you see welfare be put back into the economy.
Right.
Like these people that like need food stamps aren't sitting on their food stamps.
They're not like, oh, well, I got a mad collection of EBT cards.
Right.
Like,
yeah, look at all these rollover dollars. I get, you know?
No, that's a very pervasive myth. The idea that people on welfare just sit back and collect welfare and spend it on booze, women, and movies.
But then you look at the money, like what, the extra $9 million that somebody's going to get because their fucking uncle died?
Right.
Like, where, how are they going to spend that money?
They're going to fucking sit on it.
You know about the, my favorite thing is the one Koch brother who's the least evil Koch brother.
The one that's gay?
Fred,
I think is his name.
The one they thought was gay because he like didn't enjoy
he wasn't
just smashing
evil.
People.
Right. Yeah. So he owns a tiny town. Did you know that? He owns like a Western ghost town. And he just, like, walks around in his ghost town as, like, sheriff of Tiny Town.
Really?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah.
Talk about
nerds. Tiny Town, like, are the people there small?
I don't – I just call it Tiny Town because it's so funny to
but
think
of. But he has, like, a little set-up Western
town. It's a ghost town. It's, like, an Old West town. And I don't know if he, like, hires people to, like, cosplay Westworld and shit in there.
That's amazing.
But, yeah, if you look up, like, Koch Brothers ghost town and it's like, okay, how is this helping? Giving this dude enough money to create fucking Westworld just for himself.
He's creating ghost jobs, though,
yeah,
for that
exactly.
ghost town. That town didn't see jobs in who knows how long.
Ghost jobs? There haven't been ghost jobs in here in 40 years.
That was neat.
Ghost
was a grasshopper.
Mister.
But yeah, again, the other thing, too, is just to think, again, we're in a good time, right? The economy is strong. We can afford to invest this money in infrastructure or things that we sorely need, which actually creates jobs, which actually creates some kind of wealth for other people. That's why, like, it's so crazy to try and wrap your head around what the motivations are of the people in the Senate.
It's easy to wrap your head around.
I mean,
they
just
want to be rich and they want their friends
I guess,
that pay them
I guess
to
it's
be
so,
rich.
That maybe makes me just such a, like, out there stupid idiot that, like, I just feel like that's wrong. That I'm like, how could you look at other people and be like, nah, fam, we're going to fucking sit on this money and, like, just keep it to ourselves.
I think it's easy because that's how the system works. Like Lindsey Graham himself said, we need to get this passed or else our donors won't return our phone calls.
Right.
Like, he just outright admitted it because
but that means
I don't think anybody.
You're not even you've lost your fucking humanity.
Well,
they
just
they
think that's how the system works.
But you think about it, right? So like maybe some senators used to be poor. Maybe.
Right.
I'm going to say a small amount of them used to be
Orrin
poor.
Orrin Hatch was. Surprisingly.
Okay. So how long, though, has he been?
900 years he's been in
the Exactly. Senate. Exactly. So you get to this place, and we were talking about it with, like, my critique of Tina Fey, where it's like these people only see other rich people, and the Beltway is so insular
right.
that they only see rich media people, and that's why they all hang out and party with each other, because this is all a joke, because they don't ever see – none of their kids are addicted to opiates, and they're not losing their houses. And
well, and if they are, they're probably keeping it quiet and getting them the best treatment possible.
Exactly, because they could afford it because of their wonderful health insurance.
Right.
Yeah. And so it's this idea of, like, we don't have any bearing. Like we don't see the outcome of this because everything is such a perfectly carefully staged photo op with their constituents, which is what made the healthcare thing so great is these town halls. Like, for the first time in my lifetime, people showed up and, like, treated politicians how they're supposed to be treated.
Like greedy fucks.
Yeah, you're supposed to hate your boss. You're supposed to hate your local politicians. You're not supposed to love politicians. And, like, that's been a big problem of America. And I think Trump's helping us with that. That's the one good thing he's done.
Right. Yeah. No, nobody's going to be like, ah.
I love the president.
Yeah,
fuck that. You're supposed to hate the president.
All right. Enough of the dark stuff. Let's talk about one of the most horrifying scenarios facing the world right now. We wanted to talk about artificial intelligence and
great movie.
This sort of looming...
Stanley Kubrick. What a neckbeard.
This sort of looming possibility that artificial intelligence is going to take over jobs. There are some estimates that say 73 million jobs in the United States could be replaced by robots in the not-too-distant future. Jobs that... You know, I didn't think could be like accountant and like tax preparer and stuff like that. Like stuff that I assumed was pretty complicated. They're saying could potentially be taken over by artificial intelligence.
Like tax preparation is like, I think, one of the most vulnerable ones.
Yeah.
Like, because we already use TurboTax.
Right.
We're already not fucking with walking into a
H&R Block and like, hi, can you do something with this?
Right. Hello, can you help me, please? I am dumb about numbers.
Which you can actually even tell because the way they're spending money on their advertisements is crazy. Like the celebrities that they have in these like tax preparation commercials, you're like, what is going on? You're like, oh, they're in their death throes.
Yeah. Right.
So they're doing anything they can.
Anyway. Right.
H&R Blockbuster Video, dude.
And the idea is basically, so you take a company that has lots of human capital like H&R Block and you replace it with a company that is just a guy that programmed a thing.
Right.
And so all this money that was going to all these tax attorneys and accountants is now going to like two tech trillionaires. So one side of the equation is this could be the apocalypse and, you know, we're not going to have employment in the future. And what are we going to do? It's going to look like a 80s dystopian sci-fi future. But then another side, I read an Economist article that was like, yeah, but you can actually pull out articles from the late 19th century and other times throughout history where people thought the same thing was going to happen.
Yeah, like the Luddites were fucking smashing up printing presses.
You know, instead of technology just taking over the world and everybody losing their job, what happened was technology took over certain jobs, but it created different jobs. So some people, like the Economist in this article I recently read, argues that that's what will continue to happen. We won't have a complete break from history. AI will just take the jobs that exist now, create new jobs that we can't possibly conceive of. But there are reasons to think that might not be the case this time around. You know, Facebook and Twitter are taking, you know, news distribution jobs and they're not replacing them. You know, they become multi-billion dollar companies that, you know, six shareholders get really rich and, you know, that could be run by a handful of people. But the difference that I see is that the Luddites didn't know shit about printing presses. Right. They just came in. They were like a sect.
They're like,
that
yeah,
was
fuck
like,
this thing.
Yeah. Right. Whereas the people who are saying that we need to, you know, start thinking about this possibility are the people who know the most.
It's, right.
It's
right,
like
right,
Elon
right.
Musk and Mark Zuckerberg. It's like the people who are like, oh, at you guys don't know what we can do.
Yeah.
Like, this is coming.
You're like, because I'm looking at it and I'm fucking scared.
Right.
Yeah. I just made it and I'm fucking tripping hard.
I fucked up really bad.
Yeah.
Right. There's a great New Yorker article from a couple months ago about how Silicon Valley millionaires and billionaires have all taken to survivalism.
Yep.
They're all like, you know, building these island fortresses because I think there is a nascent understanding that this is coming. They take so many of the jobs that there's just an entire hungry underclass that needs to be fed. And
it will look like World War Z, except those zombies are fucking working people.
Hungry.
Yeah.
Right.
Just fucking coming through your city.
Right. Yeah. So some of the solutions to this that have been suggested are
nukes.
Nukes, just end it all, or a universal basic income,
yeah,
which is it's something that's been tested out. But Josh, as a leftist, as our resident leftist, can you explain the idea of UBI?
Sure. And granted, I'm not an expert, but I've read a lot of articles.
That makes you an expert on this show.
Hell yeah, dude. So UBI, it was in a series of books by James S. A. Corey. It's the first time I saw it. But the idea that we are rich enough to give everybody essentially negative tax. Instead of you paying money in taxes, everybody gets like a median standard like of living income. 30 grand, let's say. Let's put it at 30 grand. The idea being that the reason why we created these robots is so that we as a society could be benefited and wouldn't have to toil all day in a society dominated by work for work's sake. And that's what you're seeing now in late capitalism is, I mean, I know everybody that's listening to this has or currently is doing a job that is mostly redundant, where, you know, you're just like, I don't need to be doing this technically, or I could be doing this from home remotely.
Right.
And we're all just kind of just going through the motions. And so the idea would be like, there is enough food for everybody. There's enough fucking money for everybody. And UBI is sort of an attempt to level the playing field, to be like, okay, Well, if you just are an existing person, part of your life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness is a fucking house and heating and air conditioning and food. And yeah, just enough money for basic survival.
Yeah.
So wait, how does the math work? Like, where's the money come from that gets distributed?
So first and foremost, the pockets of the super wealthy. There would be a progressive tax. They would reinstitute things like the fucking estate tax and shit that just makes sense. And then there's so much money in our military budget. We spend two times as much, I believe, as China, which is our next competitor. And so if we halved our security budget, we would still be spending significantly more than any other country.
Right.
And all of that money could go where it belongs, which is into making people's lives better. So between progressive taxes on the wealthy, wealthiest, closing corporate loopholes like the fucking Panama Papers shit, actually enforcing that stuff, and then like lowering the military budget by like even, you know, a fraction, you can easily get $30,000 for each American. And it works when it happens. Yeah. You know, there, you see in Alaska, for example, everybody has a universal basic income because of, oil money that comes through there. So that all gets split among everybody. And Alaska is super fucking Republican, but you try to take that away from them and they'll lose their goddamn minds. It's literally the most socialist thing that's ever happened in Alaska.
Right.
And the people of Alaska love it. Think of it like Social Security, but for your life.
Wait, they get distributions on the oil that's pumped out of there?
Everybody gets that check.
That's pretty
Everybody
awesome.
Gets a check. And you see it happen in, like right now there's a lot of tech people that are experimenting with this because they see the writing on the wall that we deserve this. Like the fruits of our labor have produced this excess time, this surplus of time. So what do people do when they have time? And so there's studies right now in like Norway, and Scandinavia and like more progressive countries where, based on what I've read, the outcomes of these studies are people are better parents and more integrated in their community and start gardening and like doing all these things that make their communities better when they're not, you know, newsflash, chained to a fucking desk all day.
Well, and most people spend their money because they hate their job so much in just whatever ways they can to sort of like
offset.
Distance themselves. Yeah. From like the toil, as you say.
Exactly.
And I think, yeah, another thing about the UBI is like it's to sort of disentangle this connection between work and quality of life.
Yes.
Because like, that's what we're all – whatever your job is, that's going to determine your quality of life.
Right.
And this is to say, yo, let's set a base standard of quality of life.
Right.
And then around that, you know
– and here's the thing. You mentioned like what your job is your quality of life, and that presupposes all of the privilege inherent in why people get certain jobs.
Right.
You know what I mean? And the idea of like, oh, yeah, well, I work at a bank, so I have a lot of money. Well, how did you get to that bank? Where were you set up? Where were you given a head start that gets you? And this, exactly like you said, levels the playing field and makes it so that literally everybody – I mean, this attacks poverty at the core and not just symptoms of poverty like something like an earned income tax credit.
Right.
Would go after. That's something that the Democrats have means tested to be like, oh, if you're making under $15,000, then you get this. But if you make over $15,000, you get and it's all this convoluted, you know, Obamacare fucking shit. This is just like Social Security in that everybody fucking gets it and everybody starts at the same place.
Right.
So that you can go be a doctor and cure cancer or go write the most beautiful fucking concerto or raise a happy family, you know,
and not worry about how you're going to do that.
Right. And the one thing that you never see in these stories is somebody going like, yeah, I started heroin. You know, nobody just like sits back and just does nothing because as human beings, we are social creatures and we crave, you know, cooperation. And so this is like a huge blow in the idea of cooperation versus competition.
And that myth is out there that, you know, of the welfare queen, these people who, you know, are on the dole and just sit back and they become, you know, drug addicts. And, you know, there's a famous story where Old Dirty Bastard, like, as he was like cashing his checks for like his, you know, number one selling album, like went and cashed his welfare check. And I think those stories are famous because, like, for a reason, because powerful people don't want us to think that, you know, sitting back and, you know, having money handed to us is a valid way for a society to function. But actually, when you look at how charities work in other countries, when you just give people money. This is like the one thing that charities never do, because charities, it's more fun to be like, oh, I gave this farmer a cow. And like, isn't that clever that I was able to do that? If you instead give that farmer $30 or however much a cow costs, I'm way out of the cow market in Africa.
You just showed your ass. Yeah.
but, you know, that is actually way more beneficial to him because he can, you know, he knows what he needs.
Exactly.
He knows what the job.
I don't need a fucking cow. I need a water.
I need, I need a fucking
I need a shovel to dig for fucking water. Yeah. Right. I need a cell phone to call. Yeah.
Right. And so, I mean, that's just been shown time and again that if you give people cash, that they know what to do with it, and they're rarely going to just sit back and, you know, be shitty citizens.
Right.
I mean, I'm sure there are people who are just
there are,
but that's not the majority or like necessarily a large share of it.
And that also has nothing to do with class.
Right.
It's an internal, like, borderline personality disorder or whatever. You know, that's there's just as many fucking rich people that would just sit around and
just
nothing.
Like, oh, I'm going to spend everything.
Right.
It. Yeah.
So, you know, there's this idea that maybe we will be existing in a post-work world fairly soon.
We should.
And I mean, we're kind of like Facebook is a good example of this because, you know, it's taken over how we get our information completely. And, you know, there are very few people getting rich off of that. And also you're talking about like where you get your head start. All of these internet, you know, monopolies were built on the back of tax-funded, you know, government. The government created the internet and laid the foundation for the internet. So, like, this is all stuff that, you know, the public invested in, and then a handful of people are becoming billionaires off of it. So, you know, the idea that the public should get money back is not insane, or as insane as it might sound to you as an American.
We foot the bill for the bailouts. We foot the bill for, you know, like you said, starting the fucking internet. That all came from our tax dollars, and then we don't reap any of the benefits. And another interesting point that you made was the idea that, like, you know, this post-work world, like I was thinking about it, and really it's only been a couple lifetimes that capitalism as we know it, where, like, your job is tied to your standard of living, like, is the case. Like, you know, I mean, you only have to go back a couple generations to the idea of feudalism, of, you know, like, can you imagine a feudalist, like, looking at, like, the liberalism that swept Napoleonic Europe and just being like, I don't know, if we give these reforms to the people, there's going to be some fucking crazy shit that happens. And it's just, you're in the way of progress.
Right.
Like, and now that we have more information and more power and more resources than ever before, these switches are going to happen faster. And these things are going to evolve faster, and we need to let them evolve. The thing that scares me, though, and this is not to be negative about UBI necessarily, because it's so much better than anything else we have on the table right now. The thing that scares me is a Huey Long situation. Do you know Huey Long, the kingfish?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So the idea that – for those of you that don't know, basically here was this guy who was the governor of Louisiana who saw that rural white folks in Louisiana weren't learning how to read because the schools charged for books. So he nationalized basically whatever. He foot the bill for all the books, taught an entire generation of people how to read, and then like put in electricity in the rural areas, and everybody fucking loved him. Because here's this guy, and you look at the same thing with like FDR and Social Security, and what happens then is that the people vote for you for fucking ever because you gave them this stuff.
Right.
And so when you gave Huey Long a fucking blank check of voting, he went nuts and became the governor and the senator at the same time and just like went on this crazy power trip that ultimately ended in him getting assassinated.
Yeah.
FDR obviously was a better president. But the Democrats were in power in Congress because of Social Security for 30 years. So the thing that scares me is who's going to implement UBI? Because that person will be worshipped.
Right.
And that's why I was so afraid of fucking Steve Bannon, because he seemed like the only dude creative enough to realize that.
Right, and you get the jump on that.
Right.
You know, there is a way to run this whole thing.
Right. If you have a right-leaning autocrat with, like, fascist tendencies, and you give them something like this, then we could be in a situation like Saudi Arabia, where, you know, you have this kingdom that rules with an iron fist on everything, but people generally don't do too much revolting because they're on the dole.
Right.
Because they would not have money otherwise, because there is like a weird, you know, sort of like petrostate UBI that goes on in Saudi Arabia. So like UBI in general, in a vacuum, is a great idea. We just need to make sure that it's being implemented for the right reasons by the right people.
Right.
And making it so that it's still not impossible to jump into power. You know, because this could be seen as a way to allow your Peter Thiels, your Elon Musks, and you know, young Zucks to fucking still maintain power by pacifying all of us.
All right, we got to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island, and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Hey, here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Visible is the wireless company that makes wireless visible. No hidden fees, no really. Save on wireless with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. You don't need more than one line of wireless to save. Just switch to Visible at Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
And we're back. So we're running low on time, but we just wanted to go through a couple sports stories.
Sports?
It's kind of how both of us spend our weekends, is we tend to watch a lot of sports.
And then talk about it.
And then we don't talk about it. So might as well. I'm not a huge college football guy. I'm more an NFL fan.
Yeah, at least they're getting paid to destroy their brains.
Right. Exactly. And, you know, I just really respect the politics of the ownership in the NFL. So,
big Jerry Jones guy?
Yeah, big Jerry Jones, big Goodell. I like both sides in that fight. But
I wish they'd just hug.
Yeah.
I've been kneeling this whole time, and Jack hasn't said anything.
So they announced the college football Final Four. It's going to be the three teams everybody thought it would be. Clemson, Georgia, and Oklahoma. And then the fourth was up for grabs, and they went with Alabama, which is like going with, I don't know. I don't even know a fucking metaphor, but I don't even know what metaphors are, man. This is a sports section. But so they make more money than any program in the country, and they
Alabama
like,
does?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And then they spend more money than any program in the country by like 2x. Oklahoma.
Tell me how spending works, because I don't care about college football. I don't really care about football.
They have 38 assistant coaches.
But they don't pay the kids.
Right, they don't pay the kids, but they have 38 assistant
coaches.
One
guy's like, I'm tape manager.
The head coach who is, you know, a
the devil.
Psychopath, but like the right kind of psychopath to win football games, is the highest paid person in the state of Alabama. And so they're making all this money, spending all this money, and people really give a shit about the top four teams. They love this playoff where you get to see the top four teams in college football play against each other. But all the other teams are also having to try and keep up with Alabama and Ohio State, who spends half as much as Alabama, but is the second most. And it's like driving these schools to like spend money on fucking college football stuff that they're not going to make back. So they're like taking money from elsewhere in their collegiate budget and, you know, spending it on college football that nobody's going to watch or care about.
And like when they're outspending, you're saying that puts you at advantages because of like the like resources you can put into your team.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Coaching and that,
yeah.
That, and that's what inherently just because.
And also just like scouting trips and like, right. You know, all the money that they do illegally give the players whenever they do, you know. Like,
right. They have like the, you know how there are those Olympic training facilities in the mountains where like
right. You go to
all
the high
Olympic
altitude training.
Athletes like train together and it's like the peak of scientific sports medicine. That's what Alabama's facilities look like. You go there and then you go to some school that spends, you know, a quarter of that is still like one of the biggest programs in the country, and it's no question where you go.
Right, Alabama
maintains its huge advantage.
Wait, then why are people mad? Do they feel like Ohio State objectively should have had that fourth spot?
You know, 538 had Ohio State as the favorite, and Alabama was second in line. So it was
a
minor
upset.
It's been
a great year for 538, getting things right.
Yeah, fucking nailing it. But they were off only by one. They had Hillary winning, but Trump was coming in second. And so they only had it off by one.
Yeah, they mixed up one of the results.
Yeah, right. Gary Johnson was number one in their poll. Well, it's funny that you mentioned the Olympics, right? And I've just been, you know, going through a lot of stuff. Like the DSA LA has a great, like, No Olympics group, and it's.
Can you say? Does it explain what DSA is?
Sure, it's the Democratic Socialists of America. Essentially, we want you to have what you deserve, and we work locally. We're a big fan of grassroots, ground up. The basic idea is stop paying attention to national politics. At least for me, I'm not talking on behalf of the DSA. I'm talking about why I'm in it. Stop paying attention to national politics. You can't affect everything. You can't affect anything. But if you work to make your community better, and then you teach other people in other communities how to make their community better, and then you learn from other communities how to make your community better, then everybody gets rid of the little Trumps at the local level. And then that creates the groundswell. It's kind of the opposite of like the top down, like Green Party.
Yep,
let's
trot
out Jill Stein and be like, hey, we're here.
Yeah, it's got back from my party with Putin.
Right. We want, you know, school board and city council and shit like that. And
sure.
That's, we believe real change starts from that. But the reason I brought them up is because inherently the DSA, especially LA, is against the Olympics.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like this. It seems like Alabama's doing a mini Olympics every fucking year where they're just building these weird things with public money at great cost to like – because it's not just that they're building this shit with public money, right? It's that this shit is going to be useless.
Yeah,
and
after the Olympics.
Right? After the Olympics. And when you talk about like the sports medicine stuff, like that's not going to fix – cancer. That's not going to fix, you know, like actual fucking problems that people have.
That just increases someone's 40 time.
Right,
just
exactly.
Doing better than 40, right.
Yeah, and so, you know, it's it is pretty funny when you look at, like, how shitty the Olympics is at the IOC as a group of just unelected, completely, like, you can't hold them accountable, rich people. And then you look at the people selecting who's in the college football playoff.
Right.
It's the same sort of just, like, party boy rich guys who, you know, party with Dominique Strauss-Kahn and are, like, guilty of multiple assaults. Like, you just know anybody that's a college football booster is guilty of multiple assaults.
All right. Now for a one last story that we can't turn into how fucked we all are by
we'll
America
see.
As a society.
We'll see.
I don't think. Miles, this one's yours.
Oh, my God. So, look, I'm a fan of Japanese baseball players. Fan of a little baseball. You know, and specifically, this player, Shohei Ohtani, who is playing in Japan, is going to come to the major leagues. And he is a fucking freak. This dude can throw an insane fastball. He can crush the shit out of the ball when he's at bat. He's, like, looking like a real true two-way player, which is, like,
hasn't happened since
Babe Ruth.
Right.
Like, and this guy, it's crazy. Like, he's the truth.
He's coming to the Dodgers, baby!
We'll see. So, the reason I wanted to talk about this today is because, over the weekend, all 30 MLB teams, they prepared presentations, you know, to try and get him to be like, hey, baby, why don't you sign for us? But he quickly whittled it down to seven teams. It's the Angels, the Dodgers, the Cubs, the Giants, the Mariners, the Padres, and the Rangers. Now, some people say maybe he wants the AL, maybe he wants, because of the DH, maybe he wants the National League so he can play in the outfield or whatever. But it looks like, at the very least, there seems to be a little bit of a West Coast bias
Southern
here.
California bias.
Because, yeah, I think, A, he really wants to be able to fly to Japan, and that's an easier flight when you're leaving from the West Coast than it is from the East Coast. And also, like, the Dodgers, I think you should come to the Dodgers. We've got some Japanese players, baby.
Yeah.
You fit right in. We take care of you in L.A. We love the Japanese pitchers. Hideo Nomo, shout out to you.
Like, oh, baby.
I just want to bring this up because we're getting closer, and this guy's going to be a very exciting player in baseball. And, like, for the first time, I'm very excited about, you know, I'm even more than, obviously, when the Dodgers in the World Series are very excited.
Sure.
But, like, to know that there's a Japanese player who is, like, a freak. But, again, we don't know how he'll be in the MLB, but he shows great potential. Great things could be happening. And guys, just keep your eyes on this.
Can I read a quote from an interview with him that my friend sent me? It's so funny. MLB.com asks, what cities are you curious about and would like to see? And Ohtani goes, the Rocky Balboa statue. I want a picture of that. And MLB.com goes, Philadelphia has a baseball team, you know. And he responds, no, I just want to visit. Fuck you, Phillies.
Boom.
That's for the Matt Stairs game.
Are you from Philly?
No, I'm from L.A.
Oh,
and
okay.
The Phillies, the one playoff win I ever saw the Dodgers do was in the NLCS in the one game that they fucking beat the Phillies in that year that, like, Ryan Howard and his huge roids head just beat the shit out of the Dodgers.
Right.
I think it's those Subway sandwiches that got him so big.
Oh, yeah, right, right.
That's what he'll say. That's what he'll say.
Yeah, yeah, sure. Right. Allegedly. Everything I've said is allegedly.
Alleged.
All right, guys, we're going to end it there. Josh, this was so much fun.
Thank you for having me. This was great.
Thanks for doing it. Where can people find you on the internet?
You can check out my podcast, Left Coast, at Left Coast Pod. And it's myself and Sarah June, who also was a guest.
Yep. A lot of people love that episode.
She's great. And the two of us are newly radicalized comedians, and we have on people that are way smarter than us to tell us about, you know, specific parts of leftism. I think the episode that's going to be coming out soon, we have, a history of the doomed electric car in Los Angeles, as told by James Adomian.
Oh, that's a great story.
We do a multi-hour deep dive on Saudi Arabia with Felix Biederman from Chapo Trap House. That's going to be coming very soon. So check us out, Left Coast Pod on Twitter.
LA used to have the largest public rail system in the country, and I think in the world.
It was up there in the world.
And they just tore it all up because the corporations, the Goodyear tires of the world came through and were like, nah, it would actually make us more money if you didn't have that.
Yeah. And so they bought it. And this is a little tease of what you'll hear. They came together to create a corporation, Goodyear and like other like automotive and companies came together, bought the light rail, and then dug up the tracks and just removed, not only dismantled the trains, but removed the tracks so no trains would go there ever again.
Miles, where can people find you?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Miles of Bray.
You can find me on Twitter at Jack_O'Brien. You can find us at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page that is The Daily Zeitgeist. And we are on Twitter at just Daily Zeitgeist, at Daily Zeitgeist. And you can go to dailyzeitgeist.com where we post our articles and our footnotes. Where you can find all the sources to all the stuff we're talking about today. We weren't just making all that up, unfortunately. That's going to do it for today. We will be back tomorrow because it is a daily podcast. Thanks for listening.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Are you still searching for your perfect place to call home? Well, now is the time to buy at Fisher Homes. If you're looking to move in before the end of 2024, May could be your last opportunity to start building your dream home and close before the year's end. If you're hoping to move in even sooner, Fisher Homes also has homes that are move-in ready and waiting for you, where you can start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with a new home advisor today at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home.